There's something about this once a month, I don't know, talk, presentation, conversation, whatever we want to call it, that to me is it's like sacred. It's like a deeply spiritual ceremony that we come into, and we just connect at the deepest space, and it's so love-filled. Thank you for being you. Thank you for making this a priority. Thank you for your flexibility in adjusting your schedules around the couple times we've changed this, the time of this event. You know, we changed it the first in order to accommodate our trip to Thailand, which starts next week. And then we changed it again in order to accommodate the momentous event of Barack Obama's inauguration earlier this week. So truly, with deep gratitude, I welcome you, Donna and I welcome you, Donna and Eleanor and I welcome you to what I believe is a deeply, deeply special, sacred time together. So with that, let us just join together, as I have had the privilege over the last hours to do with you. And I feel like this is the verbal part of several hours of very privileged time I've had, just to sit in the lap of your soul, just to have us come together at the deepest heartful space, and prepare this time together, because this truly is a shared kind of a thing. It's my voice, but it's really our message to each other. It's our way of loving each other and supporting each other. So, you know what? This week, the new book that I've recently written, the one that's just being published by CSL, is hitting the press. And it came to me earlier today that, gee, it would be a great idea to share some of its hopefully inspiring message with you during this hour. I've called the book Soul Vision, S-O-U-L, and I've included a subtitle that reads, A Modern Mystic Looks at Life Through the Eyes of the Soul. And in a sense, it's my own soulful vision about how life works, both out there in some cosmological sense and in here in a deeply personal sense. And I'd like to share some small pieces of that vision with you today, especially emphasizing its implications and its applications for you and for your life. And you know, I start the book with a quote by the French novelist Marcel Proust, who lived around the turn of the 20th century. And he wrote these words, and these words are really the sort of the motto of the book, if you will. It goes like this: the real voyage of discovery consists not in seeking new lands, but in seeing with new eyes. I just love that quote. The real voyage of discovery consists not in seeking new lands, but in seeing with new eyes. And that's what I'm delighted to invite all of us to do right now, to open ourselves to see with new eyes, seeing yourself with new eyes, seeing life with new eyes, seeing your favorite dilemma with new eyes, seeing your cherished values with new eyes, seeing your prized worldview with new eyes, seeing everything, everything in you, around you, with new eyes. And as always, please allow your own soulful self to guide you to these new eyes and guide you through the process of this fresh vision as you personally participate in the words that follow. Now, before I share a selected version of this soul vision with you, I'd like to share a personal experience, and it's actually one I had forgotten about until it just kind of hit me today, came back into my memory. And when Donna and I lived in Washington, D.C., and we had the World Peace Institute, which was our nonprofit organization, as our life mission, a man came to see me, and he was a very sincere, genuine man, a man I really got to like and love. And he worked for an international government agency that was centered in D.C., and was in the process of being promoted to a quite important worldwide leadership position. And his dilemma, which is what he came to seek help from me, was that he had always been a very convincing overachiever. He'd always felt quite confident in his performance until now. He'd finally met his personal Peter principle, which in his own mind left him feeling quite inadequate for this world-level position of leadership and decision-making. Well, he and I, as will be a great shock to you, hit it off beautifully. And we quickly worked our way through all the levels of his feelings of inadequacy, all the way from the philosophical to the psychological, to the, from the conscious to the subconscious, if you will, from the expressive to the essential. And it wasn't until I asked him one of those very special moments of deep honesty, the question, who are you? Way down deep. Deep in your gut, deep in your essence, in the heart of your in your heart of hearts, who really are you? It wasn't until then that he looked at me with quite an astonished, even helpless gaze that actually portrayed his deepest ignorance about the question. And his eyes teared up, and he slowly uttered the words, I don't know. I really don't know. And he had never touched his essence in his whole life prior to that moment. He'd been very busy navigating his life, managing his success, performing to everyone's satisfaction, but truly he didn't know his deepest self, his soulful self, if you will. So what we did was we spent all our scheduled time together focused on his getting to know himself at the core. And he did really, really well. He discovered, for instance, that he was in this business of international betterment, not primarily for his own success, but because, and this is what he found deep down, he was a really loving, dedicated, caring, committed person. He cared about humanity. He cared about this planet. And he also discovered that this mission in which he was involved was like a priesthood or like a rabbinic service or a spiritual ministry. And he actually took up the mantle of that ministry within his own person, which was now so much more self-aware. And toward the end of our time together, this precious man had actually shed his feelings of inadequacy and had taken on a deep, deep sense of personal purpose, a loving mission, a soulful ministry. And he moved into the international scene, very peaceful about his new position, really prepared to serve our world with actually a lot of confidence and with deep integrity. And, as you can imagine, with soul. And so I was really, really proud of him and to this day consider him a dear friend. So why do I tell you this story? Mainly because in his voyage of discovery, he allowed himself to see himself with new eyes. And again, I hadn't thought of it for several years, and it just jumped back out at me. And he didn't really look for the outside world to change in order to ensure his personal comfort. He didn't look to be rescued from his new position. Rather, he allowed himself to look at, actually, to look at the same person at whom he'd been looking at for more than four decades, himself, and to see himself anew, from new angles, from deeper perspective, from the vision of his own soul. And actually, I think you and I have done the same thing over the years. We've looked at ourselves through the eyes of our all-knowing, all-loving, all-embracing soul, and we've refreshed our view of ourselves. We've moved from perhaps inadequate to precious, from fearful to empowered, from struggling to strong, and maybe most of all, we've expanded our view of ourselves from a view that's small to one that's large, from a limited to an expansive vision, from what I tend to call a traditional human perspective to a divine human perspective. You know, the great Indian liberator, the spiritual giant Mohandas Gandhi, the Mahatma, said it well. He said this, "The purpose of life is undoubtedly to know oneself. And we cannot do it unless we learn to identify ourselves with all that lives." Identify ourselves with all that lives. The sum total of that life is God. And that's the end of his quote. And that quote leads me to the main point I'd like to make, the main vision I'd like to share, the main invitation I'd like to extend today to every one of us. And here it is. You and I live fully, powerfully, wondrously, magnificently, not only
as three-dimensional human beings in a body on Earth, and yes, very much that, but as multi-dimensional beings who soar through the spheres. Let me say it another way. For you and me, our presence here on Earth is but one slice, a notable and important slice, but only one slice indeed, of a much larger pie, of an enormously expanded existence. While yes, we have bodies, emotions, minds, humanity, everything else that characterizes a traditional view of what we call human, we've sold ourselves amazingly short in our sense of identity, our sense of who we are, because in truth we are much, much more than that limited description. It's become, frankly, my personal sense that the main reason that so many of us feel whatever constriction we feel, whatever contraction or pain in life that we've adopted, because we've come up with totally too narrow a grasp or concept of who we are as earthlings, or of what life here is really like, or of what we're doing here in the first place. In my new book, I've described it this way, and this is a quote. I think it's just one sentence. Indeed, in our current collective story, many of us have forgotten that we're conceived in absolute perfection, that being human is an invitation to play in life's beauty, and that we are an intimate part of all creation everywhere. Our beloved Martin Luther King Jr., whose special day we celebrated earlier this week, put it this way, quote, "We are all caught in an inescapable network of mutuality, tied together in a single garment of destiny." And while we're in the business of quotes, I can't help myself. I want to share with you, I think it's about three sentences, written by Tom Brown Jr. And Tom Brown Jr. is a contemporary naturalist, an outdoorsman, who was a student of the Apache elder Stalking Wolf. And he wrote in a book called Grandfather these words, "Spiritually, one can never be alone. We're all connected to all other entities of the earth throughout the, quote, spirit that moves through all things, unquote. And once realizing that spirit, we become one with all things. There can be no loneliness." Now, here's what these wisdom-filled words mean to me. Every minute of our lives, we, you and I, we're an active part of the universe's vastness, and we can find our identity in the beauty and the wonder of the infinite. Like right now, you and I are intimately connected with the vigor and the life force of every human being, every animal, every energy of nature. Right now, with our very breath, we inhale not only the nutrient-rich air or chi of the Earth's atmosphere, but the life-filled richness of the whole universe in its inexhaustible, immeasurable infinity. You and I are always, always experiencing in every moment, every nanosecond, the visible and the invisible, the tangible and the intangible, the three-dimensional and the ultra-dimensional. I've come to believe that existence here on Earth is so magnificent, really amazing, when we experience it as a part of life's bigger fabric. Once we disengage from this glorious megastructure of life, though, as we know, living the human dimension can wind up being downright painful. So I'd like to invite us to a journey. So come with me, if you will, if you feel moved to take a journey into your allness, into the vastness of life, into the bigger, higher, expanded version of you and of me and of us and of all life. And let's start right there at the top, at the very essence and the beginning of life, and then let's move from there into our more familiar and hopefully more cherishable humanity. Well, we all know it, we've all heard it many times, we've even preached it to others. Here's what we know: we're created in divine perfection. You and I, Everything that is divine and infinite, that is, everything that's God, lives in us, actually is us, constitutes our innermost essence. So, in your own way, right now, look at yourself as divine. Just sit with that. See your body as a divine vessel, the divine holding the divine, if you will. Notice the splendor and the infinite design of everything about you, your body, your emotions, your mind, your skin, your cells, your organs, your energies, in short, everything you've ever identified with. It's perfect. It's divine. It's literally God. You're perfect. You're divine. You're literally God. From a Christian context, St. Paul, in writing to the Christian community at Corinth, wrote these words, "Know you not that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you?" And from an earlier time when Gautama Siddhartha, the Buddha, commented on our divine perfection, he exclaimed, and I quote, "When you realize how perfect everything is, you will tilt your head back and laugh at the sky." And that's us, perfect, divine, exquisite, amazing. It's built into our fabric. It's built into every element of our being. It lives in every cell and subcellular quality of who you are and who I am. Now, take the next step with me if you're ready. And if you want to just stay there for a while and ignore these words, that's fine too. Let's step together into the radiance and light. Yes, the light of the universe, indeed, the light of all life. So picture your perfect divine self as filled with light. It's not just that you are the essence of the divine, you are the light of the divine. And just as the divine, like way back before and outside of the whole spectrum of time, just spoke the word and said, "Let there be light." So now, a perennially present, never fading, always ebullient, ever radiant light, the light of life itself, is here, it's everywhere, and it's you. Know that, as God is your essence, light is your elemental fabric. As God is your source, light is your most foundational experience of everything. And as the divine is your core identity, light is the source of your creative aliveness. Like right now, you are a total light being, a beautiful, radiating being of ever outpouring light. If you could see yourself as a true mystic sees you, and in truth, you can right now. So let's do it together, because we've got our unity as a family, as a group of very special beings of light who love one another, just giving us every gift possible. And so we can do it. Let the mystic in you open up to see this light. So right now, as you're doing that, you're becoming clear that in your light nature, you're shining brilliantly, clearly, powerfully right now. Peer through any sense of your body or material presence at this moment, if you care to, and notice what this effervescent light looks like, how it connects with you, how it communicates in the unique, special, divine language of inner light, how it feels inside your awareness to be an endless being of light. As light, you are wonder-filled. You're awe-inspiring. You're a never-ending blessing on everything around you. As your light touches everyone, like all of us, for example, and every circumstance within your awareness, and circumstances outside of your conscious awareness, as that light touches them, it somehow knows the magnificence of itself. It, the circumstance it touches, he or she, the person it touches, in some way recognizes the mysterious God in us all, and that person soulfully radiates your light out into everything else that it touches, so that the whole world is filled with a daily, every moment, never-ending blessing, the blessing of light, the blessing of you. If you're ready, let's continue on our journey. Our journey into the vast worlds of self and life that actually characterize who and what we are. So let's look, you and I, let's look all around us into the nearby world in which little children see their so-called imaginary friends. What's that look like? Let's look all around us into the higher regions, or the space above our heads where we tend to see angels living and active, loving and protecting, nurturing and alive. Let's look into the world of the heart, your heart, our heart, where the hearts of every person, the heart of every planet, the heart of every star and dimension hold themselves in a consciousness of interconnected unity. Let's look into the seeming unknowable world of what I like to call mystery. The world of mystery, where creation itself occurs millions of times each second, even though under the radar of our conscious knowing. Let's look individually and together into the depths of our own bodies, into the very body of our planet Earth, where God's radiance manifests itself as land, waters, trees, plants, flowers, reptiles, animals, fish, and yes, human beings. Finally, let's journey into infinity itself. Infinity itself, that vast, incomprehensible, mysterious, fantastic world beyond worlds, that awe-inspiring space between space, that divine, formless wonder of the all, that is you. Yes, that literally is you. Gabriel Roth, the modern dancer and well-known musician, wrote this: "We're each at the center of the same universe, a moving center that is quite mysterious. It's both who we are and what we are." And if any of you have read Ken Wilber's book called The Holographic Paradigm, words like these can be found, and I found these words on a website called The Holographic Paradigm, would you believe? Everything interpenetrates everything. And although human nature may seek to categorize the universe, all of nature is ultimately a seamless web. And then, if I pick up from that, you and I are a part of that seamless web. In fact, we are the whole seamless web. We are not just an individual human being. We are all human beings. We're not just on this planet. We are this planet. We're not just in this universe. We are this universe and the multiple universes. We're everything that is, because we share the divine quality, the divine essence, the divine amazingness. So you and I have just visited a small portion of this seamless web. We've just experienced ourselves in this journey and experienced life in its higher dimensional nature. In our higher dimensional nature, in our and its radiant expression of light, in our unending magnificence and the magnificence of everything we can imagine and what we can't even imagine. And guess what? All of that is inside us. All of that is us, you and me, this Earth, this solar system, this universe, these multiple human cultures that live around us. All of that is, get this, your boss. All of this is your most feared scenario, everything imaginable. It's all God. We're all God. You're all God. I'm all God. And we play as God in this playground and beyond this playground all the time. And every moment of every day, you and I are sparkling with the universe's glorious light. We're pulsating with the divine's splendor. We're celebrating life's multitudinous creation. We're experiencing life's creation's love, pulsating in our heart, feeling life's inventive majesty coursing through our veins. Can you feel it even as we're talking? We're witnessing the electrical pulsings of light itself in our nervous system. We're soaring with the angels at one and the same time that we're doing everything else. We're living with the playful sprites and spirits that surround us, even though invisible to our two eyes. You and I are right now drinking in the life force of the many-dimensioned spheres. We're doing it when we enjoy eating delicious food. We're doing it when we're breathing in the air. We are delighting in creation's miraculous discoveries, creation's inventions, as we awaken to their intended gifts. And we're being absorbed in the delicious celebration of life that's happening all around us, that's happening through us, that's happening inside us, yes, every moment of every day. And here, I think, is the very, very best part of it all. We have built in, custom designed, built right within us, every consciousness, every tool, every capability, every capacity to live all of these realms, terrestrial and celestial, human, divine, earth and universe, matter and light, limited and limitless. Let me say it another way. Because we are the all of life, you and I, we can live consciously, not just unconsciously, in all its realms. We can experience its dimensions. We can find all its worlds. We can breathe in all its wonder. We can know it at all its levels. We can have it in all its possibilities. And all we need do to capture this magic and majesty and miracle of life is look into the depths of our soul. Peer into the vast reservoir of infinity that lives within each of us. Visit that font of knowing, that source of wonder that's alive in our center, where we call it the soul. And there we find the allness of life, not just out there, but in here. And we find ourselves not just in here, but out there. As I just said, that central space within us is what over time we've come to call our soul. The German romantic philosopher and novelist named Novalis, who lived at the end of the 19th century, wrote these words: "The seat of the soul is there, there where the inner world and the outer world touch. Where they overlap, the soul is in every point of the overlap." I love that quote. I just want to read that again. The seat of the soul is there where the inner world and the outer world touch. Where they touch and overlap, the soul is in every point of the overlap. Yes, our very personal soul, our shared soul, is our ticket to the universe, our entryway into the divine, our portal to the mystery-rich world that makes us up. It's within our soul that infinity can be vitally experienced. It's in our soul that light shines without clouds. It's in our soul that mysterious wonder fills every corner of our being. What amazing repositories of infinity we are. You and I, all of us, all of life, what miraculous embodiments of multidimensional magic our bodies are. What incomprehensible manifestations of an endless light we radiate all the time. And what awe-filled experiences of amazing, dynamic, vast consciousness we are. A consciousness that gives us access to everything under the sun, everything beyond the sun. An awareness that connects us to the interpenetrating oneness of life everywhere. Indeed, as Tom Brown Jr. said earlier, we are not alone. There can be no loneliness in the depths and truth of our being, because we are an intimate part of God. We are an intimate part of every style of creation, an intimate part of life everywhere, of creation itself. We're an intimate part of each other. And if we just let ourselves focus on it, we can feel that. We're an intimate part of life. Put more simply, just because we're intimately connected with each other, with the infinite, and with all life, we are each other. We are the infinite. We are life. And we give each other our gifts. We give each other our talents, our love, our support. And all those gifts are present and available to us in our souls, in our soulful connection, in our soulful oneness. A man I'd never heard of by the name of Stanley Lau wrote this: life is a gift. Each breath of air, a kiss. Each sip of water, a hug. Each taste of food, a blessing. To be cherished, to be treasured, to be well served. Is that your experience? Is that my experience? Surely it's not the experience that we have every moment of every day, but it's the truth, the fundamental truth, the solid truth, the soulful truth, the universal truth, the divine truth of life. And sure, we get all preoccupied with and focused on other versions of that truth, but maybe one of the reasons we've all chosen to come together this evening, one of the main reasons that we've deep in our being felt the calling to come to this space where we join together in the intimacy of each other, is that in this sacred space we can experience life as a gift, each breath of air as a kiss, each sip of water as a hug, each taste of food as a blessing. And we can allow ourselves to be cherished, to be treasured, and allow ourselves to serve life as a gift. Well, can you experience your divinity right now? Or your vast light nature? Or your participation in those angelic worlds, those sprite worlds, those energetically alive universal worlds? Can you experience your oneness with everything else right now? Can you let what you might soulfully imagine have the status of supposed reality? Can you let what you know spiritually become what you experience humanly? Or what you've just experienced in these last moments be welcomed into the inner sanctum of your humanity? Can you? I deeply know you can. Or, in current day parlance, yes, we can. Yes, we can. Yes, we can. And, just as is happening politically, yes, we will. And, yes, we are. Before we close this conversation, permit me, if you will, to invite each of us a little bit more to the wonder of who and what we are, a little more intimately. Allow me to share with you a little bit how I personally see you, what my individualized experience of you, if you will, is, how I'm thrilled, how I'm filled with delight every day by the joy of your presence. I heard myself say to somebody the other day, by the way, that yes, I certainly am my own person, but I just feel more and more all the time like I am who you have made me to be. And maybe in some way that's true of all of us, because we're all one and we all show up to each other to be a mirror of each other. And in that mirror, to celebrate life together, to love life together, to love each other, and just to move our exuberance into the space that we call the energy field around us in ways that just let that little light shine here, there, and everywhere. And so, here's how I see you. I see you as wonderful, simply wonder-filled, radiant, and alive with the music of the spheres. I see you as filled with the song of life itself. I see you being the song of life. I see you exuding the countless blessings that come to us from every corner of the universe, and I see you doing it all the time. I see you as the most beautiful person you could ever meet. Because the very life that you came here with, the very life that lives in your bones and cells, the very life that's here to be celebrated, is fully present within the sacred, sacred person that you are. You are the beauty, the radiance of life itself. I see you as God. Absolutely divine, sacred, infinite, wonder-filled. Just like the very God or divinity that we've come to revere in religions, in prayer, in contemplation, or in rituals of ceremony. Everything that's divine, as I see it, lives in you, loves in you, thrives in you, expresses in you, creates in you, and that makes you divinely beautiful. You're simply divine, darling. And it's not just that God loves you. It's more that the God that you are loves. And that love that you are is endless. Next, I see you as the free, flowing, light-rich breeze of life, flowing as freely as the unfettered wind, invisibly touching everything around you with the tender touch of life's transforming kiss, then moving your sacred touch to the next person, then to the next phenomenon, then to the next circumstance, perhaps unknowingly, maybe knowingly, but whatever, spreading your infinite gifts around the planet, spreading them everywhere. I see you as life itself, filled with life's untold blessings, life's gracious gifts, life's endless beauty, so fully filled with those qualities that you have no choice but to celebrate life, to celebrate life's wonder, to celebrate life's magnificence, your magnificence, our magnificence, the magnificence. And last, I see you as the most beautiful, radiant, alive, precious, wonder-filled, and glorious creation. Divinity itself, if I may say it, is so proud to call you its kin, so proud to bless you daily with its gifts, to live in your every cell, to radiate its bliss throughout your body, to express its vibrational joy through your emotions, to shine its electrical juices through every thought in your mind, to be the very you that's nothing short of beautiful, of beautiful, of beautiful. And you know what? It doesn't really matter to me that so few human beings remember this at a conscious level. Remember that they are divine. Remember that light is like radiating out from them every moment. Remember that they are the ultimate blessing of life and that everything they touch is being blessed by them. Because, and it doesn't matter to me, because the truth is we all know it. We all remember it. We're all celebrating it at the deeper levels of consciousness, at levels of the subconscious and unconscious, for example, and at that glorious place where we all meet, that superconscious realm of life, that realm where we fully know, we fully grasp the beauty, the wonder, the magnificence of all creation, including each other, and of everything we could ever imagine. So, if you find yourself feeling alone, or depressed, or afraid, or angry, or confused, or limited, please, please, if you would do yourself the favor, invite yourself into the amazing soul that lives everywhere in you, and most especially at that innermost center of your being, that amazing soul that's right there waiting for you, and just sit there for a while, right in the middle of that amazing soul of life, long enough, sit there long enough to hear its sweet, sweet tones, to hear the song of life itself, long enough to feel the touch of the divine starting to tickle your insides, long enough to recognize the vast expanse of life that's dancing, singing, partying all around your inner pain, long enough to sense the love that literally is massaging even your inner torture, long enough to feel connected with the God, with the light, with the grace, and with the magnificence of life itself, and long enough to find yourself or re-find yourself, and in finding yourself, to find the allness of life that you are, and to feel the bigness of life that you are taking over, leading you out of the self-inflicted torture, out of the pain, into that space of life where you recognize that the only reason you took on that pain in the first place was so you could love it, so you could bless it, so that you could transform it just by surrounding it with the very beauty of the very being that you are. Indeed, stay there in that soul long enough to find comforting refuge, to find empowering strength in that ultimate life that you are, long enough to be and feel filled with that life's thrilling wonder, long enough to let yourself be transformed anew in that moment and maybe in every moment into life with a capital L, life itself. Whew, in conclusion, thank you. Thank you so much for being the perfect, most wonder-filled embodiment of God, for being the radiance of life that you so beautifully, perfectly, resonantly, powerfully, blessing-filledly are. Thank you for drinking in the invisible blessing of this conversation. Thank you for being in this very moment the fullness of the radiance of life that is you, that's around you, that's through you, that's in you, that's everywhere. In short, thank you, thank you, thank you from the depths and heights of my heart for being the you that I can't ever stop talking about, because you're radiant and you're alive and you're the most beautiful God or goddess I've ever seen. And in celebration of your grandeur, in honor of your magnificence, I'd like to close this conversation with a beautiful, beautiful quote by Hafiz, the famous 14th century Muslim Sufi poet. And it's from his poem entitled, Only One Rule. And it's fairly short. It goes like this. The sky is a suspended blue ocean. The stars are the fish that swim. The planets are the whales I sometimes hitch a ride on. The sun and all light have forever fused themselves into my heart and upon my skin. There is only one rule on this wild playground. Yes, every sign Hafiz has ever seen reads the same. They all say, and my parenthetical input is, this is the rule. They all say, have fun, my dear, have fun in the Beloved's divine game. Oh, in the Beloved's divine game. Thank you very, very, very much.